I was told right before the service, and I didn't get a chance to tell Pastor, but I heard there was an accident somewhere on 104, and they had it shut down. And so just be in prayer for whoever is involved in that situation. But obviously it was serious enough to shut it down, so just be in prayer for that. I've been really thankful lately just for safety on all the roads with all that snow that Pastor's been doing snow dances for to get in. And even though he claims he didn't, I seen him in his office one day doing it. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. I know we already have a staff meeting on Monday. All right. I understand. Okay. All right. Genesis chapter 19. We're going to try to finish this up. We're going to try to finish this out. It was hilarious. Last Sunday night, I was just going. And I looked up, and it was time to end. And I was like, this is not fair. And you're saying, yes, it's fair. My bladder says it's fair, okay? We need to end, all right? But it's so important, even though we've probably heard this story in numerous times, it's important to come back and look over what God has presented and to make sure that we open up our eyes to whatever God presents to us that could be new to us. Just as I was studying last week on this sermon, just God was really provoking my thought on Lot and this 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 6 through 9. So, Carlton, you've got the remote because I forgot it up there, so you're in charge, all right? So if we want to jump over to that in verses 6, I want to remind you of this again. In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And so this is what God has done. He's presented the judgment there. We know that he's going to be doing that here very, very soon in Genesis chapter 19. And it says, and delivered just Lot. Now, it's not just Lot in the sense of Lot only was delivered, because we know that his two daughters were also delivered. Well, you'll see here tonight that his two daughters were delivered with him. But it's just Lot in that he is a righteous Lot. And then when you read Genesis 19, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Well, obviously, in his life over time, we're just getting a snapshot. Okay? And Lot might come back and say, this is not fair if this is the only snapshot of my life that you're taking, right? There's only a few snippets of Lot's life that we get to see. If you had one little snapshot of your life in God's Word, wouldn't you like to choose which one it was? And yet he didn't get that choice. Pick this time where I was doing really good, where I was really close to God. And yet God wanted to use this story, this factual truth of what was presented, how they responded, to present to us something to be able to help us in our walk with him. And so we see this, but I want to remind you that it does say in Scripture that Lot was a just man. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, of this lifestyle. He did not like it. And we often find ourselves there. But you know what? Not liking the lifestyle of the wicked is not enough. I just want to present that. Sometimes we complain a whole lot about the world. And yet we end up in sin ourselves by complaining about it, by the way. But here we are. We're so upset by what the world is doing. And that's not enough. It's not enough. There's got to be more here. And in Genesis 19, we didn't see a whole lot more. But it goes on in verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Aren't you appreciative of that fact? God knows how to deliver the godly. So are you godly? Are you striving to represent him, to live out his last name, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished? He knows how to judge the wicked and how to deliver the righteous. And so which one are you? So we want to make sure that every moment counts, because just like I said earlier, listen, we would love to pick out the best portion of our life to present to God and say, here, you could put this in the Word of God. Right? But Lot didn't get that. These moments that he had, every single moment counted. And we see that here tonight. So how does my moments of my days, even this moment right now, where are you at? Where are you at? You say, well, I'm here. I'm in a pew. Be thankful that I'm here and in a pew. I am thankful that you're here in a pew. Or in a comfy chair in the back. I am so thankful that you're here, but where's your mind at? Last week is, I wonder if the Rams is going to win or the Bengals. Which one is it going to be? I'm so glad that Brady finally retired. I'm so good. And some of you are like, I hate the Super Bowl. Why are they talking about the Super Bowl? Maybe that was where your mind was at. Tonight, it's like, man, I'm hungry. Okay, so a few of you are thinking that. When is he going to end? Is he going to go over again? Oh, man. Oh, did I turn off the curling iron? Did I shut off the light? Oh, tomorrow is my day off. What am I going to do? I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. Because pastor's going to go way over. I mean, where are you at? Are you here? Are you listening? Are you comprehending? Are you taking it in? Are you ready for God to work in your life? Are you ready for God to affect your heart? And then if God's going to work, when God works in you tonight, are you ready to change what needs to be changed? We were at snow camp several weeks ago, and every single service, the speaker, he stopped us in the end of his prayer and he said, keep your eyes closed. And he said, how many of you out here are willing to change whatever God asks you to change? Are you ready to take the steps necessary? Are you willing to do that? And that's what it comes down to tonight. Are we willing to make every moment count? Or do we think that these moments aren't worth the time to think about? I could waste a few moments here. I could waste a few moments there. It doesn't matter. Always matters. So we covered verses 1 through 11, and we know that in verses 1 through 11, we had a moment for hospitality. And let me see if you remember. How is Lot doing? Did he start right? Yes. Okay, he started right. He opened up his home. He says, hey, listen, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be responsible for you. He was being just in that way. And then you will realize that later on, when God establishes the law, that God actually states, if there is a stranger that comes into your land, be hospitable to them. Receive them into your home. Take care of them. Love them. I mean, feed them. Wash their feet. Whatever it is. Lot does all these things. He's doing what's right. But in the midst of doing what was right, he did wrong. What did he do? He offered up his daughters. His daughters who hadn't been with anyone. To these homosexual men that wanted to take advantage of these new guys in the land. I mean, it wasn't just a couple of guys that showed up at the door. It was an entire mob from every section of the city and from every age group. It wasn't just one generation that we could blame this on. It was all the generations that showed up and wanted to take advantage in an immoral fashion of these two visitors. I am so thankful that Grace Baptist Church likes and treats well the visitors that come through our door. We've had a lot of them lately, haven't we? Thank God. Praise God. Okay, how do we treat them? Lot was doing great. The other guys weren't doing so great. But then Lot ended up doing wrong. We have to be consistent on how we are following God. Every moment counts. And Jackie Foyle came to me after the service, and she gave me a more catchy phrase to explain what I was trying to do last week. Okay, I said doing right should never require doing wrong, but this is more catchy. I like it. A teacher would have a catchy phrase. It is never right to do wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong to do right. If you need to write that down, don't spell it the same way as the other right. But it is never right to do wrong to do right. And that's exactly what Lot was doing. Okay? The lack of love toward his family would one day bite him. You will see that here tonight. Influence doesn't change hearts. Our reasoning with sinful people doesn't change hearts. So pray that the Holy Spirit does the work while we help with our words and our actions. That was the conclusion of the message last week. So tonight we're going to get into a moment for warning and response. We're going to jump into verse number 12 together. Okay? And you'll notice that there's actually several moments for warning and response that God gives. And you want to know why? Let's just start with this. God is merciful. God is gracious. God loves us. Don't miss those truths here tonight as we dive into the scripture. Let's go to verse number 12. It said, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So if you've got anyone else, go warn them. Go tell them. If you've got anybody that you care about, friends, family, whatever it might be, go let them know. Tell them to get out. Here is your warning. Lot went out, verse 14, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Do you get what is going on there? Let's stop there. Let's stop in verse 15, okay? Do you get what's going on there? They said, hey, listen, if you've got anybody else here, we're giving you another chance. We're giving you a little bit more time. Go out and warn those that are closest to you. Go and love them by warning them. And he goes and he does exactly what he's supposed to do. Here we have it again, where Lot is doing what he needs to be doing. He's the one that's going and giving the warning, just like we should be doing. We should be going out and telling them of the judgment that God is going to bring upon those who do not get saved. If you don't choose the way, your way is going to be going to hell. That's it. It's plain and simple. And we've got to go and do what Lot was doing and going and warning. But you know what? Lot wasn't in charge of the decision of his sons-in-law, those who took his daughters to be wives. The ones that they should be looking to, Lot should be the mentor in this relationship and having this relationship with them, and they should be paying attention. But instead, they turn around and in mockery deny what Lot has asked them to do. They sit there and mock. They say, why? Couldn't there be a ton of answers here? Why would these sons-in-law sit here and say, Lot, no, this is dumb. You're off your mind. Go take your meds again and come back and talk to us again. Let's go out for coffee. Let's go over to Mickey D's. Let's get our double quarter pounder and let's just sit and relax. I mean, everything's going well. Everything's going great. I mean, we're enjoying life. What is going on in their minds? What has affected? Listen, they could just not respect Lot in any way. Why? Well, the reasons could be for the fact that Lot didn't uphold his own daughters in their sexuality and in keeping them pure. He didn't care about that. He offered them up. So as sons-in-law, wouldn't they respond of like, okay, you're coming and warning us, but you don't even care about what could have happened to your own daughters? Why should we even listen to you? Have you ever been in a situation like that where somebody's come and tried to give you a piece of wisdom, but because of their past actions, it's really hard to listen? This could be the situation that they're in. This could be in the sense that, hey, maybe Lot's already talked to them about some of their misdeeds and they really just don't care. Maybe in his being vexed, he's offered it up and said, listen, guys, this is immoral. We shouldn't be doing some of these things. The things that's going on here in Sodom, we shouldn't be taking part in this. And you know what? You know what? The world continues to tell themselves a lie and then they start to believe it. And what is it? That there is no God. I can make up my own morality. I can make up my own lifestyle and it's okay. Whatever I think is good for me, it's good for me. And whatever is good for you is good for you. And we're just going to live like this. And that's exactly what they were doing. They weren't even taking God into consideration. And maybe Lot was coming at them at different times and saying, hey, listen, we shouldn't do this. We should do this. I mean, and they just believed the lie that they were living. Doesn't it talk about that in Romans chapter 1, where they know that there is a God? It's like what Pastor was talking about this morning. And isn't that so true? If they don't believe that there's a God, if an atheist says that there is no God, why are they so concerned about going out and trying to delete God from everywhere? Does that make sense? It doesn't. But if I can delete God from everywhere, maybe if I close my eyes hard enough, He won't be there when I open them. We start believing that. I mean, just in some of the things that our world does today. I mean, do you ever watch the news and you're just like, what in the world? Where did this come from? Okay, I've been alive long enough that I can say back in my day, right? Yeah, go ahead, giggle some more. Get it out. But I remember a totally different world when I was a teenager. Now, same sin, folks. It's just that we see it all over the internet. It's so much more readily available. Yeah, yes, you that didn't have social media when you were younger did stupid stuff. Okay, you just didn't have a recording device to be able to record it. Or you just didn't think about it, all right? I mean, some of the things that I've heard some of you adult men talk about, oh my, let's not talk about it from the pulpit, okay? And I mean, this back in my day, I don't remember America being like this. I just, even the fact of communism, when we talked about communism, it was in a totally different light than what it is today. Just things start to change. What's going on here? If we tell ourselves a lie so many times, we start to believe it. We start to believe it. We wonder where our world is today. It's because they keep saying that there is no God. And this could be where these guys are at. Just that, hey, so what? Judgment? You're crazy. Just the same as those who told Noah, there's not going to be any rain. You're crazy. There's never been rain. What is rain? What is this? Is this a new type of home that you're building? Are we going to start? Is this going to be trendy? It looks weird. Float on rain that's going to fall. There's going to be that much. No. Listen, same way. Listen, there's a lot of people out there, just as this morning. Jesus is a stumbling block. Pastor preached it. Jesus is a stumbling block to people because they just can't seem to understand that Jesus is who He says He is. And what the Word of God has presented is what is truth. And so as we jump in here tonight, it's the same thing over and over. This is hundreds of years later, and we're still having the same predicament. Now we're several thousands of years later. And here we are at the same predicament, people just denying God. But you know, one thing, like I said, we could have a million answers for this. But you know, one thing that really came out to me is that being family doesn't change hearts. You ever notice that? Being family doesn't change hearts. Isn't that so frustrating? Have you ever thought to yourself, but you're my child, okay? I didn't train you to be like that. Stop being dumb. Maybe you said it out loud. Has anybody ever said that out loud? Okay, we're going to confess our sins here tonight, okay? All right, I imagine that most of us have said that. Maybe some of you are just a little bit nicer when you say it out loud, okay? But in your mind, you know that's what you're saying, okay? But being family doesn't change hearts. Have you ever thought how many family members are on that back wall? How many of your family members did you write down on those pieces of paper where you're asking for others to pray about their salvation? Is it because you're in their family that all of a sudden they're going to change their heart? No. Just because you have the same last name doesn't mean that they're going to grow up and be great followers of God. And so we do need to remember that just because we're family, it doesn't change hearts. But my actions can sure deter my family from choosing God. Ouch. Why can't it work both ways, God? Why can't my good actions secure my children's salvation? Because it says it's only by the grace of God that we can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. Lest any woman should boast. Lest any dad should boast. Lest any mom should boast. You know how many parents would be boasting? I mean, for crying out loud. Have you seen all the stickers on people's vans? You know, soccer mom van. My student is an honor student. Okay? You know what would be the stickers on the back of the soccer mom vans? I saved my child from hell. It was my godly actions that changed their hearts. See, I would never do such a thing like that. We do it. We just enjoy being proud of our children and all their accomplishments because of all the things that we did for them, right? God has taken that out of our hands. Being family does not change people's hearts. But on the other side of that coin, our actions can deter someone from choosing God. So let's go on here in verse 15. When the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot. You want to know why? Because he was lingering too long. They hastened Lot. Here he went out and he warned his sons-in-law, but they weren't following. Do you think you'd be lingering too? Just 30 more minutes. 1 hour. I mean, they're the family members that are always late to the reunion. So just give them a few more minutes. I mean, we tell them 1 o'clock, but they're usually there by 3 o'clock. So just give us a couple more hours. When the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. Get out. And while he lingered, verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You get what's going on there? Okay. He keeps holding off. Why? Something else to get, something else to pick up, something else to put in the backpack, in the wagon, whatever it is. Let's hold off for a little bit more. I don't know. There's so many questions. And they grabbed hold of his hands and his family members' hands, just his wife and his two daughters. And he grabbed a hold and drug him out of the city. He said, get out. It's going to happen. It's coming. Go. Move. Have you ever been there with a family member? Have you ever said it's time to go at least 27 times before coming to church? Do you ever get a little bit impatient? Because church starts at a certain time. Oh, they're Baptists. They'll be a few minutes late. No, we're not going there. Let's go. Let's get out. I've been there with my kids. It's like, let's go. Move it. You get a little bit louder. You get a little bit more intense. You start the vehicle. You open up all the doors. You prepare everything. Let's go. Let's move it. This is where they're at because Lot was holding off. He was lingering. Why would these angels grab hold of their hands and pull them out of the city? It says it. Because God is merciful. That's it. Why does God give us so many chances. Has it ever felt like God's drug you out of a situation? At times kicking and screaming. And here it is. Why? Because God is merciful to His people, His own people. You go on into the next verse. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that He said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." So just get out. Don't look behind you. That's it. Don't look to the side. Just keep going. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." Anybody want to smack Lot in this moment? Okay. Are you getting a little emotional here? It's like, how dumb are you, Lot? Let's go. Get out of here. Okay. Why are you arguing with the angels? They just drug you out of the city. And he's saying, "Oh, I might die in the mountains. If you don't get out, you're going to die. Get out." But he has to argue. He has to beg. It says in verse 20, "Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one." It's just a little one. "Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now, do you remember this little city? And you say, "No, I don't remember." Okay. This little city was a part of the league of cities that went up against the other kings in that battle. Okay. You know, the four kings versus the five. King Cheddar with the four kings. Okay. You remember him? Went up against the five kings. Zoar was part of the five kings that allied themselves with Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, it's just a little one. It's a little one. I just think it's very interesting what happens as we go along in here. But here he is. He's okay with staying a little bit close, allying himself with someone that is a part of that same league. I just think that's totally interesting. But yet the angel says, "Yes, okay, okay, just go, move, go." But I do think it's interesting how many of us in the midst of an intense situation, judgment is coming, we start arguing with God. We start saying, "Oh, well, really, you're asking for too much, God. That's uncomfortable, God. Ask me within this sphere, right here. You know, if I go farther, if I go outside of my comfort zone, it's going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. God, don't call me to Africa. Don't call me to Flint, Michigan. Don't make me go and speak in front of people. Don't make me go and knock on doors and talk to people about the gospel." I mean, don't we argue about so much and excuse ourselves out of so much when judgment is coming, when family members, when friends are a judgment is coming? If they don't have Jesus, guess what? Hell. That's it. And yet how many times we argue with God, just hold off. As we go on here in verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Why a pillar of salt? I have no idea. But there's no coming back from that. But isn't that so picturesque of how when God calls us from something, from our sin, when we look back, there are consequences. When we wonder if it was better to stay behind, if we want to know what's going on, aren't we all like this? We're curious, aren't we? We want to know what's going on. We want to know the details. And you know what? This tells me that we really don't need to know the details of the sin that's going on behind us. If God calls us out of it, we need to go in the direction that he's calling us. Not to look behind and see, oh, that's interesting. Because the moment that we stop and we start looking, and we start window shopping. You remember that term? I haven't heard that in a long time. But we start looking and checking things out. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the store of sin, grabbing things, putting them in our cart, and checking out, having to pay for what we have committed to. And the consequences are real. Have you ever noticed someone who has been saved out of their sin and has looked back and wondered what was going on and started walking the opposite direction that God has called them to, and they're still stuck there today? Maybe it's some of the people that you wrote on those cards in the back that you just now wonder if they were ever saved at all. The consequences of sin are real. Being family doesn't mean it's going to change your heart. But when you get into this situation, no matter how vexed I am about the evil that is going on around me, this doesn't mean my family will believe the same. No matter how many times I yell at the TV screen because of how things are going, doesn't mean that my family is going to believe the exact same way that I do. They might not be as frustrated about the sin that's going on all around us. They might be okay. They might be attracted to it. Listen, just because we're family doesn't mean that that's going to change hearts. But all of a sudden, we jump over into verse number 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Why does it jump over to Abraham? I think this is only a reminder for us to understand that God remembers his people and the prayers of his people. He goes back to Abraham. Abraham gets up early. He stood before the Lord and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. How many times have we prayed for individuals, God, please save them, over and over and over again, and right before the judgment hits, God calls them to him. You say, well, what do you mean? Maybe on a deathbed? How many opportunities on the deathbed have we been able to present and say, hey, come to Christ, this is it. You don't have much time left. And God remembers and God honors those prayers, and he brings this person to him and saves them from that judgment. Our prayers count. We need to be praying for those, interceding on behalf of others whenever they are in the midst of the sin. another picture there. You go on to verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. Do you get that? He begged the angels. He argued with the angels to be able to go to Zoar, and he went up and out of Zoar to do exactly what the angels told him to do to begin with, to go to the mountains, to go to the caves. And he and his two daughters went with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Did you notice that? There's no one else. There's no more men. See what happened to all the earth? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where it looks pretty rough around you, and out of the fear of not getting what you want, you exaggerate the case? The earth's gone. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. No more men for them, right? It goes on in verse 32, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and they perceived not when she laid down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by the father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And I think it's interesting, if you go back into the definitions behind those names, I think it's interesting because it all talks about how they've gotten them from their father. But I just think it's so much of an example. It's so descriptive of our world today and how people, they see some of the chaos that's going on around them. And instead of trusting in God, they think it's a desperate situation and they find their own morality. They make up their own set of rules. They create their own boundaries. And at that moment, it shows our unbelief. That God isn't in control. That God doesn't love me. That God isn't the source of truth. That God's word doesn't stand. You can go on and on about our unbelief when we think that the moment is so desperate that we have to go out on our own and figure out our own way and provide our own reasoning. But we all understand that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says the exact opposite. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If we are trying to trust in our reasoning 1 ounce, one little bit, we're not putting our faith in God. It's either or. And in this moment, they decided to take matters into their own hands and to do something immoral. And we think, oh, wow, so gross. But you know what? Some of the craziness that's going on out in our communities today, yes, in Taylorville, in Hewittville, in Langleyville, in Pena, in Mount Auburn, and wherever it might be, the craziness where people are trying to create their own rules rather than look to the Word of God, this is where we get. This is where we end up. Where they, in their thinking of desperation, they exaggerated the case. Well, there's nobody left, so we might as well preserve our father's line. And you know what? We find ourselves in the same exact situation where you're thinking, well, they're trying to do something nice for their father. That was their justification. Preserve his line. He said, that is a weird way to do something nice for your father. we come back to that same situation. It is never right to do wrong, to do right. It is never right to do wrong, to do right. And maybe in their desperation and their exaggeration and their own reasoning, they thought that they might have been doing something right because that was their thought process. But it wasn't anything related to right because they were doing wrong in order to get there. And in the midst of it, they just created two people groups that caused havoc for Israel for many years to come. It caused havoc for family for many years to come. Our choices affect those that are around us. A couple of thoughts as we close out here. My sin affects those I lead, whether I'm frustrated at sin or not. Lot lingered. He argued. And he sacrificed his family. How real is your relationship with God? Are your priorities straight? Lot's lack of care concerning his daughter's sexual well-being carried over into his daughter's outlook concerning their own father. Have you ever heard the saying, the sins of the father affects those coming behind him? That's exactly what's going on here. Looking back on my sin often leads to being consumed by the consequences of it. Get that. Looking back on my sin often leads to being consumed by the consequences of it. God is just. He's merciful. He's patient. And he remembers his own. A couple more and we'll close out here. Watch out for the effects of the worldly philosophy that will creep into your home and take over your family. In Sunday school, that's what we've been going over in our class. Watch out for the pagan culture that creeps into your home and is in opposition to what you need to be doing for the sake of God and His kingdom. But it creeps into your home and it takes over your family. That's exactly what happened to Lot and his family. And then, do I really believe God is serious about the coming judgment? And how am I responding to this coming judgment? Am I lingering? Am I arguing? Is my character affecting the way others see this judgment? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this truth that you've had on display tonight. And God, there's a reason for it. Each one of us that are in here needs to be impacted by this, and we need to make changes based on it. And God, we thank you for the truth that you've displayed. God, if there's someone in here that understands the judgment is coming and they need to choose you, they need to choose your gospel, your salvation, God, may they do that tonight. For Christians in here tonight, God, that you just push us all to make every moment count. To choose right now, even this evening, to make every moment count. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just take a